Welcome to a Draft Wednesday edition of Locked on Grizzlies. I am Peter Edmiston, and this edition of Locked on Grizzlies, as every Wednesday, is brought to you by Draft. Our friends at Draft make it so easy for you to be part of one-day fantasy, and not only can you be part of it really simply and really easily, but you can make a little money. Oh, yeah. You can play with your friends. You can play in smaller groups. You can avoid all the nonsense that's out there with the bigger sites where you have these big whales that come in and they got to have these algorithms and all this computer stuff. And it's like impossible for the regular Joe to get out there and win. That's not the case with Draft. And Draft, man, having lots of fun, was in a six-teamer with our friends at Fast Break Breakfast just yesterday. So it's fun. It's easy to pop in. You can get up to a 50% bonus when you make your first deposit using the promo code LOGRIZZLIES. That's LOGRIZZLIES. That helps you. It helps me. Helps everybody in the whole thing. So please support our friends at Draft. Download the app. It is super easy to do so. iOS, Android, download it. Get it on your phone or tablet or device or refrigerator. For those of you that have those crazy smart fridges, hell, put it on there. That's a great way. Open up your fridge, get yourself a bite to eat, enter a draft, win some money. It's that easy. Check it out. Draft, get the app, get started. Use promo code LOGRIZZLIES to support yourself, support the pod, have lots of fun on this Draft Wednesday. Well, as I said, today we'll talk a little bit about the Spurs matchup. Tonight, we'll talk about how things are surprisingly, I'm not going to say rosy for the Grizzlies, but they got all their turmoil out of the way, and looking around the rest of the NBA is kind of interesting from the Grizzlies' perspective now. And we will get a little bit of feedback and look for a lot more, too, from the discussions yesterday about trades and about what the Grizzlies would do. Tonight, the Grizzlies will take on the San Antonio Spurs. Spurs coming off of a pretty good performance. It's hard to tell against the Cavs these days because the Cavs are hot, flaming trash. But at this stage, a win is a win, and that's a nice win for the Spurs over the Cavs, and doing so kind of in that transitional mode. The Spurs have got plenty of issues of their own off the court. It's pretty remarkable that they've managed to stay mostly controversy-free throughout these runs, but of late, things have gotten a little bit iffy with the reporting done by the whole cadre of folks over at ESPN about what's happening, about how Kawhi is dissatisfied with his treatment, how there's some disagreement from his side and his agent side and the team side about how things have gone, about how, I mean, if you listen to Jalen Rose, he says that Kawhi wants out. I don't know, but it's something that's very unusual for the Spurs, who have been so calm and have made such a transition away from lots of different players without too much controversy. You know, Manu, no problem coming off the bench throughout most of his career. Tony Parker has been benched for DeJounte Murray and has not had any issue with it whatsoever. Pau Gasol to the bench, no problem to speak of there. Even LaMarcus Aldridge, who had a real problem transitioning to San Antonio in the offseason, was going to ask for a trade and then instead ends up talking to Greg Popovich, and Popovich apologized and was very upfront with him and about how his role has changed or would change and would need to change. And really, it was about Popovich changing himself to accommodate Aldridge. You don't see that kind of stuff from most coaches. So I'm skeptical that things are as bad as some would portray them. I'm certainly skeptical of the idea that Kawhi wants out of San Antonio. I'm sure it is frustrating for him not to be back. I'm sure it's frustrating that he's not been able to necessarily attract that other big player to go along with him. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge aside, they need that third star type guy. They have not been able to really bring that guy in. That might be a source of frustration, but I can't imagine that it leads, particularly with Kawhi's personality and what the Spurs have done for him, I can't imagine that we're in that dire of straits in their relationship. That seems strange to me. But really, the way you'll know is this offseason, because Kawhi is eligible for a designated player extension, the big one because of the accomplishments that he's had in the All-NBA. So he gets the 35%, the big one, $220 plus million. when it's all said and done. If he refuses to sign that, then it's very easy to figure out that you got a problem. If he doesn't sign that, you got an issue. If he does, then everything's done. So to me, this is all a tempest in a teapot. Not a big deal. But the stuff about transitioning away from a star player can be a big deal. And it was interesting when you contrast that with what's happened elsewhere with other guys who did not want to take a diminished role. Even J.R. Smith with the Cavs has balked at taking a diminished role on the team. You know, this tells you how impressive it was that Zach Randolph last year was able to take it in stride that he was benched, that he was no longer going to be a starter. That's not easy for him, and he handled it very well. Not everyone does. Tony Parker has handled it very gracefully at this point. And DeJounte Murray had a really good game against the Cavs. The Spurs, obviously, very, very tough team. Great team to come in and potentially stop this winning momentum that the Grizzlies have. And we'll talk a little bit about that here in just a second. So, yeah, the trade deadline coming up, of course. God knows we'll spend plenty of time going through all sorts of potential trades, possible trades, things that the Grizzlies might do, might not do. And I know that this whole idea of tanking, I've been talking about it forever. Like, you know, back in, you go back and look at the pod archive, go to the archive of mid December, I guess, probably even before that, when I first started talking about the idea that the Grizzlies need to just focus on player development and, you know, racking up losses and being as bad as you can be in the short term, because that's better in the long term. Everyone seems to have some kind of very hot take on this. And, you know, I've given you mine. I'm not a hot take guy, generally speaking. I'm not a guy that wants to just throw out a bunch of controversial stuff, but I also like to back up what I say. And I will tell you my honest opinion. None of this stuff to, like, generate. Some people like to generate attention going, you know, extreme one way or the other, and really, like, amplifying their thought. I'm not into that. I don't want to. You guys take your time to download this and to listen to it. I want to give you the best I can give you, the quality I can give you, my unvarnished opinion, but not a bunch of hot air. So when I tell you all this stuff, that's just my unvarnished thought. And hey, man, you can disagree and you may well be right. I'm not saying I'm 100% right, but I do think there's a logical consistency, an intellectual consistency to the argument that people are overlooking. And it's not, to me, difficult at all to thread this needle. No one is talking about tanking in the sense that the Grizzlies players are trying to lose games. That will never happen. That doesn't happen. It's not discussed in the locker room. It's not in those players' best interest. Many of those players won't be a part of this team. In fact, probably the overwhelming majority of the players in the Grizzlies locker room won't be a part of the team when the tanking would come to fruition. When whoever you draft, if you draft a star and he's really good in 2 or 3 years, most of those guys aren't going to be on the team. So it's not in their interest at all to lose this year, because they don't see any benefit from that. They want to win. Winning, putting up big numbers, helps them financially for their next contract. Same thing with the coach, who is in an interim deal. Winning helps him short term, looks better. You see better strategic decisions. He can put that on the resume, either with the Grizzlies or with someone else, and say, look, here's what I did. Here's how we did. Here are the things I did well. And check this out. I can win for you. Look who I won with. That's the thing. That helps. And JB would be well suited. It's in his motivational interest to do all that. So that's all cool. The job of the front office is to make sure that you take away the guys that can help you win on a consistent basis. Now, you'll win some games. I mean, last night the Lakers did the Grizzlies a great service in beating the Celtics, and you know, that was a game that they didn't need to win. I mean, last year the Lakers won their last 5 games, and it, you know, put their pick in jeopardy. They could have easily lost it had they fallen out of the top 3. They would have lost that pick. Now, they got fortunate with the ping pong balls. and maybe some would say that's karma, but they jeopardized their pick. Teams do that. You know, tanking is not as simple as it seems. Everyone has competing interests, and everyone has, you know, even within organizations, has different things that they want to emphasize and focus on and for their own careers and all that stuff. So, no, it's not simple, but it makes it a lot easier if you have a plan and you have a top-to-bottom strategy about what you're going to do. You know, there are a few arguments that I will hear from time to time from people about why you shouldn't, quote-unquote, tank or whatever. And to me, so many of them are predicated right now on thinking that this team is better than it is and this core is better than it is. There's a fundamental disagreement that I have with probably many people who are in that camp about how good this team and this core really is. And that's, you know, that's where, if you don't think the core is all that great, and is probably trending in the wrong direction as I do, then you are more in favor of moving fully away from it and starting with something else. I would also say that it is not as if this core group, when the tank comes in, people talk about tanking and losing again, it's just, it's the most, it's a very confusing phrase, but, and or word. But it's the one we use, so just, you know, take it with all the baggage that comes with it. Tanking, you talk about attendance and tanking. Just remember, this team was not bursting the turnstiles last year. Go back and listen to some of the pods I did last year talking about the team and the core group, and a lot of people saying, well, you know, it's kind of, it feels like this thing has run its course. And now you look back and say, whoa, you know, boy, this core, that wouldn't have been nice. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's no fun to lose. It's more fun to win. But this team was not top 20 in attendance with the core four. So, you know, you're not giving up huge, massive revenues. You didn't have a waiting list to get into FedEx Forum. So you'll have some short-term issues for sure. But you're not giving up that much. And ideally, if you play your cards right and you get a very marketable guy in the draft, then you might have something that you could sell. And you might have a plan that you can sell people on, the way that they've sold that plan in Philly and the way they've sold their plan elsewhere. You can sell it if you have a true plan, if you actually go through with it, you know, start to whatever the finish happens to be. That's the part where communication with the fans comes into play, where communication with the, you know, from front office to coaching staff to players, internal communication has to come into play, and all that remains to be seen as to whether the Grizzlies can actually execute any of that effectively. Now, I wonder, I never really thought that we'd be sitting here at this point of the season, and, yeah, I thought the Grizzlies obviously would be better, but I never thought, like a month and a half, 2 months ago, that the Fizdale Gasol drama and all that craziness would maybe not even scratch the top five of NBA dramas this year. The league is crazy. I mean, you've got Cleveland discussing trade apparently with Sacramento involving George Hill and two of the pieces that I talked about on the pod. You know, Iman Shumpert, Channing Frye, some guys that will clearly be in just about any deal that Cleveland does. It's amazing where Cleveland is, how bad they are defensively, the worst defensive team in the league right now. The worst. They have a negative point differential in spite of their accolades and what they've done. Incredible. At each other's throats. Everyone hates Kevin Love. Ty Lue could be fired by the time you hear this. Crazy stuff. You have Washington. Players-only meeting. That sucked, according to Bradley Beal, where they didn't get anything done, and everybody hates each other, and the Mavericks went out and beat them by 20-plus points in spite of that, and J.J. Barea said, I don't hate anyone in the league except John Wall, and he's definitely the guy that I don't like, and I hear that his teammates don't like him either. I mean, this is some serious weapons-grade smack talk from J.J. Barea on a bad team, but they can do it. The Mavs feel more functional right now, which is weird. Milwaukee, fire Jason Kidd. Justifiably so. But still, chaotic for a playoff team. because now they got to go through and they've got the interim coach and Joe Prunty and, you know, all the upheaval that is associated with that. You have the aforementioned issues with the Spurs that we talked about. You have the Clippers and some simmering tension with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan and whether they're going to trade DeAndre or not, or whether they're going to trade Lou Williams or not. You have the Utah Jazz, who just kind of imploded this year. The Nuggets are not on great terms with one another. It's insane. It's insane right now around the NBA. I don't remember this much. Oh, Kemba Walker. I forgot about Kemba Walker and his potential to be traded. And, you know, Michael Jordan having to come out and try to put out that fire, but really just kind of make it worse. Comparatively speaking, the Grizzlies are considerably less chaotic. I mean, by comparison, at least they've kind of settled into something. JB Bickerstaff's got like a, you know, he's got control of this thing now. His stuff is more or less in. Team looks pretty settled. Young players on the rise. Mike Henry's, of course, the MVP. So all that's working really well. Who would have thought that in this situation, the Grizzlies would be comparatively calm compared to the rest of the NBA? It's pretty bizarre. Now, one thing that I want to do, and we're going to start doing here on the podcast, looking around the rest of the Locked On family, we all now vote. All the Locked On hosts are voting on who's out there and who is top-notch, who are the kings of the standings. We're doing a little power rankings from the Locked On Podcast Network. It's the NBA National Power Rankings brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. And I can tell you that top the list in our power rankings, Golden State, 2, Houston, 3, a tie with the Raptors and the Celtics, very interesting, 5, Spurs, 6, Timberwolves, 7, Thunder, 8, Cleveland, all the way down at 8, 9, Wizards, 10, Miami Heat. We mentioned that so many of those teams, pretty good teams, have got some turmoil of some sort off the court. So we'll kind of track that power rankings, but no surprise who is at the top of the rankings. And even though Houston did beat them over the weekend, I really, still hard to go against Golden State at the top of the standings. Now, some of you guys have responded to my discussion, but we're going to do more over the coming week or so about what the Grizzlies should do, what they would do. My friend Thornton Madison with the response of trade Chris Wallace for a ham sandwich, even giving up cash considerations if you're going to trade Chris for that ham sandwich. I wondered if the ham was expiring. Good question about any ham, really, or a meat product. That's a first trade that we got out of the gate, and I really liked it. Thought it was good. Other trades, feel free to tweet them to me, at Peter Edmiston. There's definitely a split from our listeners here, and I think my followers on Twitter, other fans I hear from on the radio side on Sports 56 and 87.7 FM, there's definitely a split with what the Grizzlies should do. And there's a, I would say, probably a vocal minority that don't advocate the tank philosophy. I still think it's mostly a majority that endorse the tank, but it's that vocal minority that is not on the fence yet for a lot of different reasons. Some philosophically about just not wanting to lose, not endorsing losing, some because they don't trust the front office, some because there's all different reasons why. To watch how that unfolds over the next 2 weeks will be interesting, and it's why I want to hear from you via email, pedmiston@gmail.com. That's pedmiston@gmail.com. What is your plan? What would you do? What would you do in that situation? Would you tank? How much would you tank? Would you try to win? How would you do it? That's the first thing that I want to know. Send me an email, pedmiston@gmail.com. And then specifically with regard to trades, what trades do you want to see? If you're going to trade, if that's part of your gig, give me like a plausible trade. Don't just give me the old, whatever. Throw some names in there. Don't check it. I want you guys to check it. I need you guys to check the deal before we go any further on this thing. So shoot me a plausible, realistic, actually allowable trade and we'll go from there. Last thing tonight, injury report, Jarrell Martin, questionable. He played under the questionable status on Monday with a hand injury. Now he's got a left knee and left ankle injury, according to the Grizzlies. Missing tonight's game, once again, James Ennis with a calf injury, Jermichael Green with the ankle injury, Chandler Parsons with the ever-present right knee soreness, and Mike Conley, it will not shock you to find out, is missing with the heel injury. So, tonight, Grizzlies, Spurs, talk about it tomorrow on the pod. Have a great, great Wednesday, everybody. Enjoy this beautiful weather if you happen to be in the Memphis area. And you know what? Keep listening. Keep helping out. Thank you for downloading and sharing the pod with others. Thank you for all the reviews and all the kindness. It's awesome, and I really appreciate you guys very much. So thank you so much for that. Check it out wherever you get it, and we'll be back tomorrow on Locked On Grizzlies.